It's a joy and a blessing to be with you this morning. I count it always an honor to be here at my home church. And during these summer months when it's so hot, it's wonderful to have an air-conditioned auditorium to come to and be able to sit in here. You know, I was talking with somebody the other day, and this kind of weather makes you grateful for heaven. I mean, can you imagine going through a hot summer Texas and then not going to heaven? Imagine that. It'd be like jumping out of the frying pan and into the fire, literally. Well, it's a joy to be with you, as I mentioned. Let's open our Bibles to 1 Peter chapter number 1. 1 Peter chapter number 1. As you're turning there, I want to give you a little bit of background to this lesson. Several years ago when I was in Mongolia, we were translating the Bible into the Mongolian language from the original languages. And we had a team of people come and visit us from a fairly well-known church here in the United States. If I were to mention that church, I would say probably at least half of you have heard of that church before. And the men that were staying with us, there were two men, they were both deacons in the church that had been saved at an early age, had gone through the Christian school, and had been at that church their entire lives. One day as we were out and about, they said, "Brother Bill, do you think you could take some time and explain to us exactly how God gave us the Bible?" I said, "Well, that's a very unique question." They said, "You know, we have a general idea, but we'd like just to hear your input on that." So I thought about it, and I went back to the house and studied a little bit, and then I kind of put some things together to give to them. And since then, the Lord has allowed me a few times to share some of that material. Today, I want to share just one of four parts that I normally teach regarding how God gave us the Bible. And this, specifically this morning, is how God revealed His Word. We believe that the Bible is the most important book that has ever been written. One of the reasons we believe that is because it's the only book that is written by God. It is inspired, it is infallible, it is inerrant, and it is eternal. It is as important for us today as it was the day it was written, and it will continue to be important throughout all of eternity. The Bible is an amazing book. But in order to understand this book, I think it's important that we also understand how it is that God revealed this book to us. Let's go there to 1 Peter chapter number 1, and I'll begin reading in verse 23 and read through verse number 25. The Bible says, "Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you." I'd like for you to notice that here in this passage we see references to the word of God in all three of these verses. Go with me to verse number 23, where it talks about an incorruptible seed. That, of course, is a reference to the word of God. And then it says, just after that, the word of God. And so not only is it called incorruptible seed, it's called the word of God. Look down in verse number 25, it says the word of the Lord. And then later it says the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. And so we have this amazing book that God has given to us. And sometimes I think it's just important to remember how it is that God first gave His Word to man. So we're going to see three things this morning. First of all, that at the beginning, God spoke directly to man. So if you're taking notes there, I'd encourage you to fill in that little blank, which is the word directly. God spoke directly to man. Now, I'd ask you to try to follow along with these verses, if you would, because I think they'll help. Genesis chapter 1, and we're going to look at verse number 28. Genesis 1:28. The Bible says, now I want you to listen very closely here. In Genesis 1:28, there is a blessing. And I want you to tell me, if possible, where the blessing is, okay? It says in Genesis 1:28, "And God blessed them, and God said unto them, Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Now my question to you is, where is the blessing in Genesis 1:28? This is a Sunday school class, so I'm going to ask you to tell me, is there anybody out there that can say, I think I know what it is? There's five different commands in this passage, but what's the blessing? All right, everybody's thinking, got their thinking caps on. Miss Terry. That's right, it's that God spoke to them. You realize that every time God speaks to us, it's a blessing. When he says something like, be faithful. When he says, be ye holy. That's a blessing. When he says, be ye kind one to another. That's a blessing. When he says, bring all the tithes. That's a blessing. Every time God speaks is a blessing. So we see here that at the very beginning, God spoke face to face, directly to men. The same way that I'm speaking to you today. We find God in the garden speaking to Adam and Eve. We find God in Genesis chapter number 6, if you want to jump down there to Genesis chapter 6 and verse number 13. We find here, and God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, etc., etc. He talks to Noah. He's speaking directly to Noah. Go to Genesis chapter number 12. I'll throw in one more here. Genesis chapter 12, verse number 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house into a land that I will show thee, etc., etc. And so God spoke directly to man. Directly to man. That's amazing. God never left man without his word. From the very beginning, from Adam, mankind always had God's word. God wanted to make sure people knew what he had to say. And so during that first time, that first section of God's relationship with man, God spoke directly to man. Now, some people get all bent out of shape over that because they say, Brother Bill, that's not possible. Because the Bible says that no man hath seen God at any time. That's a problem. If no one's ever seen God, how did God speak directly to man? Oh, and there's a very, very easy explanation for this. You see, our Bible teaches us that God has three persons. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The member of the Godhead that we cannot see is God the Father. We cannot see God the Father. No man has ever seen God the Father at any time. However, Jesus is the member of the Godhead that is with us. He's the one we can see. In the Old Testament, you find several times there is a phrase, the angel of the Lord, and that is sometimes called a Christophany or a theophany. What does that mean? Theophany means an appearance of God. Christophany, it's an appearance of Christ in the Old Testament. Please remember that in John chapter number 1, we find that Christ existed from the very beginning and was part of the Godhead who formed all of creation. He was there at creation and even before creation. And so Christ is the member of the Godhead we can see, and then the member of the Godhead who lives in us is the Holy Spirit. You know, sometimes we talk about receiving Christ into our heart. When technically, the member of the Godhead that we receive into our heart is the Holy Spirit. Galatians chapter 4 and verse number 6, the Bible says, and because ye are sons, God hath sent the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So, the member of the Godhead that lives within us is the Holy Spirit of God. And so, yes, God did speak directly, face to face, to man. And that was Christ speaking to them. Can you imagine the joy in their hearts as they would have that opportunity to speak directly to God? Well, things changed. And we find a second step, a second section in the revelation of God's word. And that begins in Genesis chapter number 15. And in this second section, God spoke to men through visions or dreams. Through visions or dreams. Genesis 15, verse number 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. So here we see that there is now a second section, a second step in the process, if you would. A new development in God's way of revealing His word to mankind. At the beginning, God spoke directly to man, face to face. They could hear His words and respond. In the second step, the second time, the second process of revelation, God is now speaking through visions and dreams. We find that this begins here in Genesis chapter 15, verse number 1. That's the first time that God speaks to anyone in a vision. Go down to chapter 20 and verse number 3. Genesis chapter 20 and verse number 3. And the Bible says, But God came to Abimelech in a dream by night. And so here we see the first time that God speaks to someone through a dream. Now, maybe you've had dreams before. I know I've had some amazing dreams, especially after eating pizza. I don't know, there's something about eating pizza and drinking, you know, Coke and eating donuts afterwards and having a great big meal and then going to bed about midnight and, you know, you're just kind of tossing back and forth all night and having all kinds of weird dreams. That's not the way God speaks to us today, by the way. God speaks in a different way, but there was a time where God spoke through visions and dreams. And so here we see this happening. Now we can continue on. If you would go to the book of Matthew, chapter number 1. Let's look and see some New Testament examples of this as well. Matthew chapter number 1. You'll remember this particular dream because the Bible mentions Joseph receiving this dream. In Matthew 1, verse number 20, it says, But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord, now remember once again, that is a Christophany, appeared unto him in a dream. And this, of course, is God speaking to Joseph, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And so here you see Joseph receiving God's word through a dream. If you go over to Revelation chapter number 1. Revelation chapter number 1. And it says in verse number 10. Revelation 1:10. It says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. And although it does not mention the word vision, we understand that this is a vision that God gave to John as to the things which were to come. Now, I want you to notice something very quickly here. If you were to take the section that we started with in Genesis chapter number 1 and go through Genesis chapter number 12, that is the first step in the process of revelation. So that is, in my Bible, that is this many pages right here. All right? The second step in the process of revelation is all this right here. It's a huge difference, isn't it? Huge difference. This is just a summary of what happened in that first step of the process. But let's think about this for just a second. How long did that first step in the process take? Well, it was about 2,000 years. It was about 2,000 years between the time of Adam and the time of Abraham. This right here is 2,000 years of history. 2,000 years of history. And then between the time of Abraham and the time of John, that's also about 2,000 years. About 2,000 years. I want you to notice the difference. Now, how long has it been since the time of John until our time? It's been about 2,000 years. Do you think that maybe God works in patterns? I do. I think God works in patterns. And I'm of the opinion that it might just be that God could come back pretty soon and take us on up to heaven. And maybe that's what God's going to do. And if He does, I hope you're ready. I hope you're ready right now. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, there are people here at this church that would be delighted to tell you and explain to you how you can know for certain you will spend eternity with Christ. So we find then these first two sections, but there's a third section. And this is perhaps in some ways the most important, at least to us. And so for this, we need to go to Exodus chapter 17 and verse number 14. Now, Exodus 17, 14 is incredibly important because this verse helps us understand clearly that the process of writing down God's words was not something that originated in the mind of men, but rather originated in the mind of God. This was not something that Moses one day woke up and said, I should write these things down. No, this was designed by God. And I want you to think about this for just a second. Most people in Moses' day did not have the ability to read and write. That was not common throughout the world. And yet, where had God allowed His people to go? To Egypt, to the most developed civilization of that day. And where was Moses trained for the first 35 years of his life? Or 40 years of his life. He was trained in the home of Pharaoh with the best teachers. He had the greatest opportunity for academic pursuits of anyone in his entire nation. There was no one else among the Jews that had the opportunities to study like Moses did. And so then God calls Moses to lead His people out of Egypt. And then God does this. In Exodus 17, 14, the Bible says, Exodus 17 and verse number 14, the Bible says, And the Lord said unto Moses, Write this for a memorial in a book, and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, for I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. This is the first time in Scripture that you ever find God telling someone, write this down. This is the verse where it happens. This is where God tells a man, you need to write this. Now, this is not just something for you to think about later on. No, I need you to write this down. How many ladies here have ever sent their husband to the grocery store with a written down list? Would you just slip up your kind hand so that I may see if you've ever sent your husband to the store with a list that you wrote out? You've done that. And why do the ladies write out that list? Okay, you know, because we men, we have a very distinct style of going grocery shopping. Now, I know I don't speak for everyone, but I'll speak for myself for just a minute, okay? If my wife says to me, can you go to the grocery store? My response is always, yes. I know I'm a little unique in this, but I love going to grocery stores. Love going to grocery stores. If I go to a foreign country, one of the first things I want to do is go to the grocery store and just see what they have. I need to see what is in that grocery store. And so if my wife says to me, can you go to the grocery store? Absolutely. Now, she normally has a few things she wants me to buy. Okay? And sometimes it's as simple as we need milk, we need eggs, we need bread, and we need butter. Milk, eggs, bread, and butter. And that's about as simple as you can get. Okay? It doesn't get much simpler than that. But I can assure you that if I go to the grocery store, I will come back with something other than just eggs, milk, bread, and butter. Now, I may come back with some of those four items, not necessarily all of them. I might forget one of them, okay? I might remember milk and bread and butter and forget the eggs, but I assure you I'll come back with some Little Debbie brownies or maybe some ice cream or you know, I mean, there's, if, listen, I love turkey sausage. If turkey sausage is on sale, I'm buying turkey sausage, okay? I mean, you know, you walk past and they've got this, you know, fantastic deal. I went to Kroger a couple of weeks ago. They had Bluebell ice cream on sale for $3 a thing. I was like, yes, God is good. Now, it's come back up, but I'm just telling you, you know, $3, I mean, come on. We got to buy ice cream. It's hot outside, I mean, you know. And it was awesome. I loved it. Why did God want Moses to write these things down? He even mentions it. He says, write this for a memorial. We should not forget God's word. We now have God's word printed for us. It has been written down. It has been preserved and protected, and it has been even translated into our language for us. That is what God has done. But we see here how that this process begins when God speaks to Moses and he says, Moses, write this down. And so Moses says, absolutely. Well, let's see how that happened. Go over to Exodus chapter number 24. Now, Exodus 24 is one of the most unique chapters in all of the Old Testament, because it tells us a process here that is truly amazing. Exodus 24, we're going to begin in verse number 3. Exodus 24, 3 says, and Moses came and told the people. Now, I want you to notice the word all, how many times that exists in the next few verses, okay? And Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord and all the judgments, and all the people answered with one voice and said, all the words which the Lord hath said will we do. Do you know, I hope you do already, that all of the words of God are important, okay? It's not just some of them. It's not enough to say, we have most of God's word today. That's not enough. We need all of God's word. We need the parts that we love, like maybe a Psalm 23, you know, which just, oh, we have Psalm 23 memorized. Do you realize that we also need 1 Chronicles with all of those begats? Yeah, that's God's words too. And so, as we look at God's word, we need to understand that all of it is important. So here at this particular point, Moses comes to the people and he tells them all of God's words. And they said, we're going to do all of it. And then look at verse number 4. The Bible says in Exodus 24, 4, and Moses wrote, what's that next word? All the words of the Lord, and rose up early in the morning, and builded an altar under the hill, and 12 pillars according to the 12 tribes of Israel. So not only did he tell them all the words, he now wrote all of the words. Jump down to verse number 7. It says, and he took the book of the covenant. Now hold on just a second. Where did Moses get this book? I'll give you a hint. He wrote it. That's where he got it. It says, and he took the book of the covenant and read in the audience of the people, and they said, all that the Lord hath said will we do and be obedient. Now, prior to this time, when anyone was going to speak to another person on behalf of God, they would just speak. And this is the first time in recorded biblical history that someone comes and speaks to people from a document that is written, on which in that document we find the very words of God. This is awesome. They now have God's written word for the first time. They'd never had it before. Over 2,000 years, they'd never had this. Now they've got it. This is awesome. This is amazing. And now they have God's written word. Well, the Bible tells us, it actually doesn't stop there. Because in order to prove the authenticity of this written book, God wanted to give a seal of approval. You know, if someone says to you, I'm going to give you my house. And you say, wow, that's amazing. And then the next time you see them, they bring the title deed and they hand you the title deed. At that moment, you say, oh, wow, they really are giving me their house. Now, I don't know if anybody's ever given you a house before. And that would be an amazing gift, would it not? I really feel that most of us in this room, somebody gives us a house, we'd probably, you know, we would never forget it. We would never forget it. We'd think that was a very kind gift for somebody to give us that house. Well, what about these people? How do they feel about this book that Moses had now read? Well, jump down to verse number 12. And the Lord said unto Moses, come up to me into the mount and be there, and I will give thee tables of stone and a law and commandments which I have written. Now, who wrote this right here? It says, God said, I have written that thou mayest teach them. And so, while Moses had written this book, God now wanted to give to the children of Israel something that was so very impossible for Moses to have done, and yet that God did it to prove to them that what Moses had told them, and then Moses had written down, and Moses had read to them, that it was all authentic. Now, I'm not going to take the time to do this, but I love studying the Bible. And if there's any Bible students here that love to search things out, I'm going to give you something that I hope you'll enjoy. The exact date at which Exodus 24 happens is a date in the Hebrew calendar, which today they sometimes called Matan Torah, which means the giving of the Torah, the gift of the Torah. It is also known as Shavuot, which is the Feast of Weeks. The Feast of Weeks. This is always, always on a Sunday. The day that God gave them His Word in Exodus 24 was a Sunday. It was also exactly 7 weeks after the Feast of the First Fruits. That's why it's called the Feast of Weeks, because it's 7 weeks from a Sunday, 7 weeks later on a Sunday, and the Feast of First Fruits is always on a Sunday, and the Feast of First Fruits is always on the first Sunday after the Sabbath, after the day of what we call Easter or Passover. And so, this particular Sunday in the New Testament, at which God in the Old Testament gave them His Word, in the New Testament is the day at which God gave the empowering of His Spirit, the Feast of Pentecost. The two greatest gifts that God has ever given us are, number one, His Word, and secondly, His Spirit to live in our heart. There are no two greater gifts that have been given to any Christian. We now have His Word and we have His Spirit. And by the way, we need both of them. If we have His Spirit and we are not in His Word, we're going to backslide, we're going to get away from God, we're not going to live the way we should. If we have His Word but we're not saved and we don't have His Spirit, we're never going to grow spiritually because we will not understand God's Word. But it is only when we have both the Word of God and the Spirit of God that we are going to grow in an amazing way. So what does God do? Exodus chapter number 31, verse number 18. Exodus 31, 18, and He gave unto Moses, when he had made an end of communing with Him upon Mount Sinai, 2 tables of stone, 2 tables of testimony, tables of stone, written with the finger of God. Now I want you to see this. These tables of stone had God's actual fingerprint in them. Can you imagine that? Can you and I write in stone? Of course we can't. But God can, because He's God. And so God wrote in these tablets of stone with his finger. Now, some of you, I know you're getting ahead of me. You're saying, but Brother Bill, these got destroyed. I know. Hold on, we're going to get to that in just a second. Exodus chapter 32. Let's look at Exodus 32, 16. Well, let's start in 15. Exodus 32, 15. And Moses turned and went down from the mount, and the two tables of the testimony were in his hand. The tables were written on both their sides. That's interesting. On the one side and on the other were they written. And the tables were the work of God, and the writing was the writing of God graven upon the tables. Now, how many of you remember seeing those tables of stone in a Sunday school picture? Maybe when you were a child, at some point you saw those tables of stone and Moses was holding them. Anybody ever seen a picture of that before? All right. What did they look like? How did they look on top? They were kind of curved, weren't they? They were round on top. What did they look like on the bottom? They were square. About how tall were they? Just kind of show me with your hands. About how tall were they? About like that, right? And then how thick were the tables of stone? Oh, yeah, probably about like that, right? And where does the Bible say that that's the dimensions? Never says it. It never says that. But you know what happened in 1949 when Israel became a nation? They started discovering all of these archaeological sites all over Israel. And there is a city named Arad in southern Israel. And I've had the privilege of being there, I don't know, probably about 10 times. And when you go to Arad, you're going to see a temple complex there in Arad, up on the higher part of Arad, where that those who worship God during the time that the temple in Jerusalem had been destroyed and it wasn't in use, they actually worship God in Arad. And they have a little altar there, and it's a square altar because altars to God were square. Altars to the pagan gods were round. The Canaanite altars were always round. And then just behind that, you find this little kind of a square place. And they called that the Holy of Holies. And inside that, there are two stone tablets, round on top, square on the bottom, about that tall and about yay thick. Now, they're not the ones written by God. They're there to show as a replica. But these are those that God actually wrote. Now, we know what happened. Moses comes down the mountain, sees all the people doing sin, grabs those stone tablets, throws them to the ground, breaks them to pieces. He's all upset. And so from then on, they no longer had the tablets that God had originally written, right? Oh, no. Turn over one page to Exodus 34. I hope you realize, my friend, that God is a God of second chances. God is a God of second chances. Exodus 34, verse 1. And the Lord said unto Moses, hew thee two tables of stone like unto the first, and I will write upon these tables the words that were in the first tables, which thou breakest. It was just a few days, a few hours. We don't know. We don't know exactly how long it happened here. And God says, okay, I got to give you a second chance. By the way, the second chance is always harder than the first. Did you notice the first time he didn't have to hew out those tablets? Now, this time he did. Had to hew them out by hand. Had to prepare the tablets. God was going to write on him with his finger, but God did give him a second chance. I don't know about you. I'm so grateful that God has given us his word. I'm so grateful that God has revealed his word to us. The first section, God spoke directly to man. Secondly, God spoke to men through dreams or visions. And next, God commanded his words to be written. Very simple lesson. I hope it will bless you. Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity to come and speak this morning. I pray that you would bless the auditorium class and be with Dr. Weaver as he'll be returning to speak again to them in the days ahead. And I pray, Father, that you would use this class for your honor and your glory. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You are dismissed from this class.